flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do that. You just bring back that moment upon yourself. You know, like, right. You just kind of got to move on and just keep it pushing, man. Stop.
Yeah, you got to let it go. He got to let it go so he can get back to being who he is.
That part.
You know, and that's all it is.
That's it, you know.
I mean, come on. I mean, you get up on Instagram, you pull up YouTube, you type in Jordan Poole. What do you think comes up? What do you think comes up?
Well, his name, it's not just him moving on,
but it's his parents.
Yeah.
His family. I mean, got embarrassed.
But Jordan Poole made a very innocuous comment that people can interpret however they want. He, Draymond, felt so compelled for whatever reason. He went to Twitter, tweeted about it, waited a couple days. And then made it a big, was it 8 minutes, 9 minutes of his podcast?
I mean,
knowing what it would do on the internet.
Well, not only that, I mean, I don't know what the mother, he's got the Draymond Green show, he's got to do a podcast, he's on a contract, I get
it's
it.
It's always about That's his him, theme. You know that, That's it's always theme. About him.
But the timing of it, to me, was you just got blown out by 40 to the Boston Celtics
the
at home.
It's free-falling.
You lost by 40, the worst home loss you had since 1985, for crying out loud. Since 1985. Yeah, I lost by 40 at home since 1985. That's crazy, right? So you get that, and then it's a game day. You're trying to get your footing. There's so many guys out. And before the game, we all got to move on from it. I've been trying to move on from that situation. It was 3 years ago. But it still feels like it lingers today. So I don't get the motive. I to tell Jordan Poole to move on, I just think it's the wrong message.
Last night, it's crazy because like last night, I'm watching the way that they're blitzing Steph, right? And all I kept thinking was, this is just me, after the Jordan Poole comments, boy, could you imagine what JP would be able to do as a secondary ball handler opposite Steph Curry, the way this team is trying to go at Steph right now, which is the appropriate way to do it, by the way. Like, I hope you guys all realize moving forward, everyone will be defending Steph that way. Yep. As long as their lineup has been doing it all year.
They've been doing it all year, Shasky. They've been doubling and tripling him all year. It's been happening all year.
No doubt.
Even Memphis had the blueprint, which I don't. And Sacramento's taking it. When Memphis had Jalen Wells, the young man from Sonoma State who moved on and went to Washington State, they had him pick up Steph Curry 94 feet and said, we're just going to face guard you and not even let you touch the ball. Look at the Sacramento Kings yesterday. Do you understand that Steph Curry, it was 17 minutes and 29 seconds last night, scored 2 points in the second half? Do you understand that he was limited to 5 field goal attempts?
It was the 2 points that layup late in the game where he made it over like 4 guys?
That was his only bucket.
Well, I didn't even know that.
That was his only bucket in the second half.
Because that's the only one I could think of in that second half.
And he hoisted that three because he just couldn't get open, couldn't get the airspace.
Bob Myers, well, I was watching the ESPN broadcast. No disrespect.
You didn't disrespect me. I don't care.
He goes, that might have been the best look he's had in this entire game.
Exactly.
Even though it was like 700 feet away from the hoop.
There you go.
But B, like my bigger overarching theme is you're like playing me Draymond Green sound. Like, and this is just me. I have been exhausted with the Draymond Green experience for multiple seasons. I wanted the guy off the team a few years ago because I see the value he brings. To me, when you cover this team every day the way you and I do, it's exhausting. I feel like I'm in reruns talking, and this is just me. I'm talking about me. We talk about the same topics, and sometimes it's in a different way every day. I have been exhausted. I feel like every time his name gets brought up off the floor, it's the same thing. It's the same
story. It's always something.
No, last I know, week, and I'm well, last exhausted week,
think
by
about
it.
This. Think about
I'm
this
exhausted.
Last week. Think about this last week. Last week, we're playing the Steve Kerr sound and the Steph Curry sound. We all interpreted it as like, wait, are we waving a white flag? We're waving a white flag. What's going on here? Trades, like, what's going on? They were, as Anthony Slater pointed out, they were just responding to questions because it came from an article from Draymond Green and Vincent Goodwill. All right.
You know what I want to talk about tonight? You know, honestly, you know what I'm talking about? The joy that I watch some of the young guys play with.
No, I do. But
not that they're going to save the franchise, but again, the consistent theme, and this is why I always feel like I'm in reruns, is me reverting back to Crush and Dre because I'm so frustrated where I feel like, metaphorically, the organization has been held hostage by his antics, and I'm tired of it. I've been tired of it for a while. He's a good player. He brings stuff to the table, but the bad far outweighs the good, and I want to just talk about Quentin Post and Moody and Guy Santos, and what do they do at the deadline, and how can they get better? Should they go get Vucevic? What happened to Looney? Was he sick? Did he get hurt at the end? TJD was trying his hardest. Like, Buddy Hield is on a milk carton, and then he shows up yesterday, but it's still not good enough. Wiggins, how can we get more of what I saw from him yesterday on a consistent basis? How can we free up Steph Curry? I want to talk about all that stuff, and we're sitting here talking about a podcast because of a punch from 3 years ago.
This is the business.
I know.
And we got 3 hours to go, and you got full phone lines who all want to talk about Draymond Green. That's what it is.
I know.
And look, when you talk about the Draymond Green experience, and remember we went up to the California Classic in Premier Limbaugh's, and I said, Shask, I got something for you. And then we went the next show, I said, I got a 3-team deal for you. And Draymond was involved in it. And some people think that, man, Bonte, that's why Draymond Green Snapchat you because of the trade talk. No, it was something different. It had nothing to do with basketball. But from a basketball standpoint, because I can't talk about Draymond Green from a basketball standpoint, and this is something that I was all over against the LA Lakers in that second round series a couple years ago. The non-shooting lineups. The two big lineup where you have two non-shooters, where they're not going to honor him. And that's why I was adamant that, hey, Draymond has to get aggressive offensively.
Yes.
Steve Kerr's mentioned it. Steph Curry's mentioned it on our post-game show. We need Draymond Green aggressive. Even if he's missing, he has to take those shots because guys are camping out under the rim. Luke Walton has done this. Anthony Davis has done it, where they're just sitting under the rim, chilling, saying, go ahead, Draymond, shoot it. That's what my issue is. It's the basketball. It's the basketball aspect. So if people say, man, we want to turn the page, we want a new direction, well, guess what? A new direction is getting some of the core members. Clay walked last year. Clay walked. They couldn't come to an agreement. They walked. I think we're all good with that. I'm good with that. You're good with that. It's all good. It had to happen. But if you want more change from a basketball standpoint, look at the way the game is played today.
But look at Sabonis.
Look at the NBA.
Look at Sabonis.
Shooting 48% from three.
Who do we talk about the game before? Al Horford, who is not a shooter, has evolved into a shooter.
Porzingis.
All these. So last night, I got a tiny glimpse.
Chet.
I got a tiny glimpse of what a stretch five could look like. I don't know if Quentin Post is anything special, but I saw a small glimpse. Oh,
spacing.
A stretch five who's actually 7 feet tall? Get me Vucevic yesterday. I don't care. Send the 6 feet pick. Send the first round pick. Overpay for Vucevic. Get me here yesterday. I need a stretch five.
Well, you may get it. 888-957-9570 is the number. You are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. All right, let's get these calls rolling here. We'll get to Coach Hall. I'm sorry, Coach Hall in San Diego. Then we'll get to Tyler in the city. Coach Hall, what is happening? Everybody's on hold. We're going to get to everybody. Coach Hall, let's get to him here on the morning roast. Coach Hall, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I wasn't even going to talk about Draymond, but that clip just pissed me all the way off, and it's too early. I think he don't realize he is the symptom to this disease of a team. Like, damn, Draymond, we had Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga on the same team. Come on, man. Like, what are you not seeing? You ruined that. And you wonder why the team morale is down. I bet they don't even like you. Your game ain't that good for you to be talking the way you talk. You can't make layups. You're barely moving your feet now. We ain't got a big man that can turn and face and shoot the ball in the middle of a zone. That's killing us. Like, he is literally the symptom to this disease of a team, and he's not realizing it. I said this when he punched Jordan Poole. Used to bees don't make honey. He ain't doing nothing for us, man. We got to get him on up out of here. Like, this is so frustrating. Oh, my God. I need a joint now, man. Y'all have a blessed morning.
Damn.
You too, young man.
Tyler in the city. He wants to defend Draymond Green. Go ahead. I'm okay with that. And let me make myself clear. Nobody's blaming the loss on Draymond Green. Listen, get some Q-tips. Clean your ears. The loss is on the turnovers. The loss is on the live ball turnovers. The loss is on not getting back on defense. The loss is on bad shot selection in the third quarter. It's not on Draymond Green. We're not that silly. Come on. Tyler in the city.
First of all, just want to say thank y'all for bringing the chat back. We appreciate that, whoever made that call. Thank you for fighting a good fight, Bonte. But I'm really calling in just because y'all are trying to make Poole the victim again in an incident where he was clearly provoking Draymond in that incident. Ended up getting punched and getting slept, where really it wouldn't have been a big deal if the video didn't come out. So if you're still bringing it up 3 years later, you're still out here pointing at Draymond when you're playing against them, you're still out here sneak dissing them in the interviews when you're saying, you know, I love some of them. He clearly hasn't let it go, Bonte. This is a Gen Z classic move of sneak dissing, and Draymond wanted to go ahead and address it.
You really believe that, Tyler? You really believe what you just said?
You don't think when Poole said, "I love some of those guys over there," you don't think he was talking about?
No, no. I'm thinking about the day the punch happened, like provoking. We've watched Draymond Green's entire career. Hasn't he pushed buttons? And by the way, don't forget Draymond Green in an interview early on said when Jordan Poole was a rookie and was talking trash to veterans, and veterans were like, "Who is this young hotshot talking all this best?" And Draymond said it himself. Nah, I like this. This young guy got some heart. I like that. If y'all can't handle it, get off the team. He endorsed it. He endorsed Jordan Poole talking trash. So now where do we draw the line? Because we talk trash to him? Like, I'm not buying that, Tyler. I'm really not.
But Monte, that summer, Poole was feeling himself coming off the championship.
Everybody was. Tyler, everybody was feeling himself.
Bonte, he was a big help in them winning the championship, but even he was getting on Clay's nerve when they were in China, and you could tell he was literally in an argument with Draymond Green in that incident. He pushed Draymond first, and Draymond clearly just said that he called him the B word, and then you got to have your hands up and ready to go. You got to be ready to fight.
He wasn't ready to fight.
We ain't in Fillmore, okay. California, man. We ain't on the Mac block, Tyler.
A $9 billion corporation.
We ain't on Harbor Road,
Draymond
dog.
Draymond Green has made $300 million in his career.
We ain't in Sunnydale, dog. This ain't the hood. We ain't playing at Panhandle Park. Come on, man. What are we doing here? And filling himself. Yes, he was. But I was at media day where the vibes are great. Jordan Poole had the time of his life in Europe. We talked about it because I was out there at the same time. I said, yo, I saw you pairing up. Dude, it was a vibe, man. That was good. We want to go back to back. So that's ridiculous. That is just that. More coming up on the game brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy, and then tune into the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
We are back. Robin Foster City, Richie Rich in Livermore. We'll get you at 888-957-9570 is the number. Don't forget about the second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament. It is back. Win a chance to shoot some hoops.
Thanks, Chris
on the
Berman.
Floor. I know I wanted to get my Chris Berman on. Shoot some hoops on the floor at Chase Center. That's our own reigning champion. I'm not calling him reigning champion anymore. Mark Grandy got lucky. You got really lucky. Contest starts January 27th. It goes for 3 weeks, so you will have plenty of chances to win. That is this Monday. Listen in at 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, and 4 p.m. hour starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance. Each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. More details are still to come on how to win. It's Warriors lose last night. 123-117. Even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds that year. Damn it.
Just insert Mark Grandy in there. I've done that so many times.
Why do you get those guys confused?
I don't know. You know what it is? It's probably because every door handle that I've touched this morning, I keep getting electrically shocked. Why is that?
You got a lot going on today, Chef.
I feel like Raiden.
What? Static cling is what that's called.
Is that what it's
called?
You're
shuffling your feet on the surface down here. You gotta pick up your feet.
Every one of these door handles, I'm like, dude. And it's not gonna kill me or anything, but why does that happen?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm
so
just
the Warriors lose yesterday.
Character.
They're banged up. No Podziemski yesterday. He missed his 12th straight game. Kuminga missed his 9th straight game. Podziemski may be back today. He was getting up some shots and going through a workout routine yesterday up at the Golden One Center. Kyle Anderson could be back tonight. Looney was sick last night, so he left the game. GP2 was sick, questionable. But you know what? He played. I thought he had some nice moments last night. So 888-957-9570. We had a conversation at 9 o'clock hour yesterday saying, do you even get angry anymore about the losses? Do you even get angry more about the losses? And I pushed back, and I was shocked to hear some of the calls that I heard last night or yesterday. But I got to tell you, I know when I was driving home, I was a little pissed about last night and how that went down because they played so hard, and they deserved to win. And they just gave that game away to Sacramento. Sacramento's playing well. You know, they're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 7 straight at home. I get it. They're playing great basketball, and they have a nice starting five, really good starting five. They could score, no doubt about that. But damn it, it felt like the Warriors gave them that. With the bad third quarter, 37-20, they blew a 17-point lead in the third quarter alone. You know, and live ball turnovers, again, are killing them.
So
they were plus 7 in the first half on points off turnovers, and they finished minus 11. That's an 18-point turnaround. I don't think I've ever seen this in my life. I've been following basketball a long time, covering basketball for a long time. They got outscored at fast break points 28-10. 28-0. What am I doing adding the one there? They got outscored 28-0 when it came to fast break points. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Okay, because I'm not as quote-unquote angry.
Not angry, frustrated and deflated. Not angry.
Well, you sent the text to the thread. What was your text to the thread last night?
I don't remember. I sent a lot
of texts.
Sam,
what was
the
exact phrasing of it? And maybe I don't know. Maybe.
Oh wait, here I'll pull it up.
You don't stand by that anymore.
Because you guys didn't reply to it.
I was kind of sleeping.
I dare a fan to call them tomorrow and explain how they won't get mad or angry over this bleep.
So okay.
What I said, and nobody replied.
When you sent,
you put the bleep at the end, it kind of threw me off there.
When you sent that. Were you angry that they blew the lead? Were you angry? I'm going to just rat
it. It was bothering me. It bothered me the way they did it.
It's
the Sacramento Kings. And that's what I was trying to explain yesterday. I was like, are you sure you're not going to get mad over some of these losses? And the way they did it, they literally tricked off a 17-point lead in 12 minutes of action. That is hard to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, this team and the 15-point leads, they're kind of historic.
Yeah, but
that's kind of their thing.
But what was bothersome was that it was – the veterans who were turning it over. GP2 with 2 turnovers in the third quarter. Steph had 2. Buddy had 1. Dennis Schroeder had 2 turnovers in that frame. The veterans committed 6 of the 8 turnovers in that frame. Actually, 7 of the 8 turnovers in that quarter. And they gave up 13 points off of turnovers. And Sacramento turned it over once in that third quarter. Just one time. I'm sorry. Yeah, I am bothered by that. I'm bothered by that because this team is better than what they're showing. I know they got it in them to make a run here. Not a deep playoff run. I'm not saying that. But the way they're playing right now, they're better than this.
Are they?
I think they are.
Why?
I think they're a little better than this.
That? Just because of Steph?
Yes. And you see the way they played yesterday without their big guns? They're up 17.
Bonte, 5 guys have their eyes on Steph at all times.
I get it.
There's not another guy on the team, even Andrew Wiggins, who commands consistent respect in terms of the defense fearing them. Like every other guy that you put in these combinations, especially with Kuminga not on the floor, they're not honoring those guys. The number one, second, and third guy to stop is Steph Curry.
Yep.
I'm not as surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm surprised in the way they blew that lead yesterday. One-handed passes, cross-court passes, in the backcourt, near half-court. You're giving up, You know, Guy Santos had one turnover, and I'm not mad at Guy Santos in the third quarter. He had one turnover, but you look at Gary Payton the second, two turnovers. Buddy Hill one. Seth Curry two. Did a shooter two.
So it's the same mistakes.
It's the same constant mistakes over and over. They started reaching with the fouls, and all of a sudden Sacramento's getting to the foul line. Again, it's just
did you believe they were going to win that game?
At halftime, I said, boy, they got a shot. Going into it, no, I didn't think they were going to win.
No,
I
thought it was gonna halftime. At halftime,
I said, at halftime, what I said was, I said the first 6 minutes is going to tell us a lot about this game.
Isn't that pretty?
It always does, though.
But I know it's going to end up in an NBA.
It's just watching NBA basketball. When you watch NBA basketball, you have a big lead at the half. It's like those first 6 minutes of a third quarter. It's just like in football. You get to halftime, Baltimore is now 21-10 or whatever. That first possession of the third quarter is always an indicator of how this game is going to go. And Baltimore is able to force Buffalo into a punt. They said, okay, Baltimore's going to get back into this thing. You got the punt. Buffalo doesn't score. You get the ball back. You kick a field goal. You're down 21-13. Boom, you're in play here. Same thing in NBA basketball. You got to get off to a better start in the first quarter. It's a first quarter league. Kind of sets the tone for a game. Boom, you get out to an 18-point lead. You're up 17. You get a three at the buzzer for Buddy Hill. You're up 17, but I told Bully. Bully said it at the post game. He goes, you brought it up. And he brought up the fact that Sacramento's getting to the free throw line, so you want to cut off their water. But those combinations played out differently, right? First six minutes of the third quarter, you could just see the energy shift. And it shifted in a major way to where you go into the fourth quarter. Not only you don't have a 5-point lead, you don't have an 8-point lead. You blew a 17-point lead in a 12-minute span, and you got to control the controllables, which is controlling the basketball, taking care of the basketball, and they gave it away. It wasn't even like, I mean, just careless passing. But I'm sorry. That frustrates me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one.
But what you haven't said is that the Kings are better. Like
right
that,
now, I don't care. But I don't care. Any given day,
De'Aaron Fox would be our second best player. Sabonis would be our second best player.
Sure.
Keegan Murray has an argument to be the second best player.
Sure. I subscribe to all of that. But I'm still frustrated in how that third quarter played out.
Okay.
And you made it easy on the Sacramento Kings to come back in a basketball game. And DeMar DeRozan went 7-for-7 at 19 points.
Yeah,
I'm not taking anything away from Sacramento. They played hard.
But
the Warriors were careless and handed them the damn basketball.
Well, their ball pressure was outstanding. Keon Ellis, Keegan Murray at the top of the key, even Sabonis, the handful of times he came up to hedge on that. Like he did. I thought they did a great job, and their rotations were better. They were getting rebounds. They were outletting. They were faster. They hit shots. I mean, De'Aaron Fox hit a mid-range shot late in the game where he hadn't hit a couple of threes. He takes two dribbles in. He's like, yeah, you're going to give me this? I'll take this.
I'm sorry. I'm frustrated.
They attacked the rim.
6'5'0". Am I allowed to be angry after the game last night, but then be over it in the morning after, or does that make me a fake fed? If you sleep over it, sure. But I got to live in it. And right now, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated by the way that played out. I'm sorry. Let's go to we'll get these Draymond calls out the way.
I think a lot of people feel the way you feel.
Yeah,
I do. I'm not
sorry,
trying to diminish
your feelings. They show flashes.
And I know.
They show flashes. And then you look at it. And not only that, not only the turnovers, but the bad shot selection. They're just pulled up from three, chucking. Get your ass in the paint. Get 2 feet in the paint. Triple drive. Can't penetrate. God damn.
I mean, God.
They were just 1-10 from the three-point line.
Lyles is going to the rim hard, B. Like, that's.
Watching that in real time was like a slow death. It was like watching the Super Bowl in the third quarter. Like, oh, my God, the 49ers are going to lose this game.
Yeah, but that was Mahomes, right? So, like, this is not
Mahomes. Mahomes didn't even kill him.
Yeah, but.
It wasn't even Mahomes in the third quarter. It was penalties. It was muff punt. It was lack of tackling. They gave the damn game to Kansas City. Don't make me relive that. All right, I brought it up. I know. Rob in Foster City, what's up?
Hi, Rob.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
Good morning.
Hey, the same thing with the game last night. You felt it early third quarter. They were going to lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
My son said, oh, they're just going to come back and win the game. Sacramento guys, their young guys are better than our,
totally.
Our young guys. You know what I mean? Like, Steph can't do it alone. He needs that number two, or he needs the number one, because he's the number two now. You see what he did in the Olympics, right? He can go off any given time, but he needs somebody to carry the team, you know, put that 20, 30 points up. You know, Jordan Poole, you know, he could have took that punch. He could have stayed. They didn't have to get rid of him, right? Yeah, Draymond's a bully. That's what he is. You say the B word to him how many times, he's going to react. You know, Durant couldn't do anything because he knew he would have got his butt whooped. Plain and simple. You know, Draymond's a bully. Yeah, he's going to fight you. And, yeah, it ain't the playground, but how many times do you see fights on the court at the playground? How many times do you see fights at work?
This is a $9 billion corporation, the Golden State Warriors. How many fights have there been this year in the NBA?
It's been some scraps on the floor.
Scraps? A couple scraps. How many blows to the jaw?
Oh, yeah, nobody's looking like that.
I mean, in practice. Can we, like... What are we doing? What are we doing?
Let's go to Richie Livermore. Richie Rich, what up, baby?
What's up, my dogs? Good morning, my fellas. What's man, up? I want to talk some basketball this morning. Let me just get this off my chest about this dude for a quick minute before I get into it. Look, man, I'm like you, Shafty. I am so sick of Draymond Green, dude. Like, it's just annoying. Like, he became, like, he just, the perfect definition, he just sucks the energy out of whoever he's around in the room, dude. Like, it's over and done with, bro, and he's making it about himself, man. Like, Tyler, caller, bro, come on, dude. I don't give a damn who you are. You ain't in the streets no more, bro. You're in a multi-billion dollar industry, all right, where kids are watching you. Everyone's watching you, bro. You don't put your hands on another man, dude. It's okay to turn your shoulder sometimes and walk away, bro. You don't knock another dude out like that and then keep bringing it up. You humiliated the whole guy, his family. Get over it, bro. Like, this is the sad part about this, guys, before I get on basketball, is that I love Draymond. Everyone loved him. He gave us four rings. Without Draymond, there is no rings, period. That was Steph Curry and Klay's dog right-hand man, dude, yep. Right? But he's became now, like, he's going to be remembered not for that, but for his drama, off-the-court tactics, his bullying. He used to be a bully on the court.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a bully now, bro. Like, you're not good no more. As your game faded away, you started to do this BS, bro, and I'm done with it, man. Draymond, you got to go, bro. You're whack, and I'm done with you, man. Now let's talk about some basketball. I don't know about you guys, but last night, I love seeing the youngsters, dude. It was like a whole new, like, the ball was flowing around, the assists. Like, it was a jolt that I enjoyed. Yeah, it wasn't like that old, it wasn't that old rusty lineup. Like, mm-hmm. Kerr, I love you, Loon Dog, but, bro, you can't really jump. You can't dunk. Like, you're too soft, period. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he's soft. Like, I just think athleticism. I don't think Loon Dog is soft. Richie,
well, his skill set doesn't, you know, what they need right now, and I think Richie's good, and I'll let you finish. Yeah. They need a guy who has got a little more pop from the outside.
There's no doubt. I wish Loon Dog would shoot it more. But I'm not going to go for the soft thing. I know Looney very well.
Okay. Keep going.
Ain't nothing soft. He's off the line. But Richard Looney can defend. He plays hard. Ain't nothing soft about Loon Dog. I'm not going to go for that.
But he's limited. We would admit that.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, sure. He Quentin Pulse does things differently than Looney. Now, TJD had himself a game yesterday. I thought TJD over the last, you want to talk about a bright spot.
Yes.
TJD has been hooping, man. He has been hooping. So I don't think TJD is soft. I don't think Loondog's not soft. I mean, come on,
well,
man.
I don't think how can you sit here?
I know that, but let's be careful how we use our words here. Let's be careful. Because that's anybody who did what they did in that championship season, and anybody who's come back in shape the way Looney has, some nights he's going to have it, some nights he's not. He got ill yesterday, but soft? Nah, that's a little...
Wasn't it eye-opening to actually... Because, like, Looney's not the full 7 feet, and neither is TJD. Like, they're like the 6'10". I think TJD's 6'9". Right. Maybe Looney's 6'11". I don't know, but... You could see there's a size difference, and he's got really long arms. I don't even think he's that great just yet, clearly, but having a big who can actually be around the rim and just get a body into someone on a team where there's not a lot of wide bodies, like, there's something to be said. We have been screaming for a legitimate 7-footer. You got a little taste. I see the vision.
The other thing, too, is with Loondog, I see him in pregame warm-ups shoot those shots, whether it's mid-range jumpers. What's going on?
Nothing, just watching.
Like talking to yourself. It was like Saskia was like having a conversation. No, Loondog, I watch him in pregame warm-ups. He shoots those shots. I just wonder why he doesn't do it in a game. Maybe it's a game plan. I don't know. But Looney's more than capable of hitting some of those outside shots. I wish he did it because it would space the floor a little bit more. Let's go to Actor Dave in San Leandro. Actor Dave. What's up, Actor Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Bonta, my man, we met briefly a couple times out at Chase. I was with my brother-in-law. We were outside the team store, and you and Festus was there, too, and you dogged on me, but it was hilarious. I don't know if you remember, but...
What did I do? I dogged on you.
No, you told Festus that I didn't like what he was doing on air, but I did. I was complimenting him.
Oh, I was probably just joking. Yeah, I was just joking.
No, I know you were. I know it was funny. It was funny.
I appreciate that. Great to meet you. Can't wait to see you again.
It's always fun.
Likewise, man. Appreciate you guys. Look, season ticket holder, diehard Warrior fans since 92, always will be. We've seen them through so much worse than this, right? But look, my question is this. Your guys' thoughts on what more could have been done, should be done, from the coaches, adjustments, and so on. Because I look at it and I'm like, you know, why not try to change some stuff up, get stuff off the ball? I mean, look, Kalena and Fitz were even saying it on air. Like, they just load up on stuff. Teams are going to keep doing this. And all we kept doing was the same thing over and over again.
They don't have another ball handler. Like, I agree with you. But, like, given where they're at right now, like, Schroeder is one of their ball
handlers.
Is one of their ball handlers. He's not playing well. I don't want GP2 bringing the ball up the court. I don't want Buddy Hield bringing the ball up the court. I don't want Andrew Wiggins bringing the ball up the court. Like, who's initiating offense right now? And with Draymond, who's another guy who is a de facto point guard, like, they just don't have a lot of options.
The shooter move, Actor Dave, has been disappointing. Go ahead, finish up strong, Actor Dave.
Yeah, I hear you guys. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, look, it's frustrating to see this. Look, I still think we got a shot at, you know, we got at least a shot at a play-in. We got to make that top 10 at least.
Yeah,
but they got to figure it out.
They got work to do.
You guys.
Yeah, that they got work
what
to do.
What a sad sentence. They got a shot at the play-in.
They got a shot
at the play-in. He's not wrong.
Dennis Schroeder.
I keep saying Schroeder.
Look,
sorry.
Dennis Schroeder, when he got traded here, it made sense. You flipped him for D'Anthony Melton. D'Anthony Melton's out for the season. You moved the contract.
You needed a guy.
But it doesn't seem like it fits. He's a small guard. He's smaller than I thought he was. I thought he was a little quicker, but even he's having difficulties blowing by guys off the dribble.
He looks quick when he is blowing us off the dribble. And then when we go up against other teams and he's on our team, he don't look so quick.
And now you look at Schroeder for the first time in his Warriors tenure. He came off the bench last night. 20 minutes, 42 seconds, 7 points, 5 assists, 3 of 8 from the floor. But he also, in those 20 minutes off the bench, committed 5 turnovers. I'm not sure about Schroeder. And I bet you the Warriors, they're going to flip some of these expiring contracts. He may be one of them. Who knows? Who knows? But it has not gone well. And even to Matthew, you know what? Let's get Matthew a candidate. We're gonna go up north. We'll go up by 80 for a second. What's up, Matthew? Good morning.
Good morning. It's crazy that you mentioned the 4 minute stint Dennis Schroeder played last night and only shot like 1 for 8, I believe you said. In that stint, he went -14. In that stint, he took one of the dumbest shots I've seen. There was 5 seconds left on the shot clock, and he damn near shot it from the logo. I did not know what to think in that moment. I sat there. I'm like, he is our secondary ball handler. He is going to be, like, when Curry's on the floor, he's the guy we go to. And I'm like, this isn't a good look. You know, at this point in the year, we're 3 games back from the 6 seed, which we could have been 1 or 2 last night if we won.
You're right.
I look at that. I'm like,
you're right. It's the truth. They are in the lost column.
Where are the Kings today on the standings? I have
7th.
What?
7th.
Boy, they feel so much better than us right now.
They are. They're hot.
But we're also hot. Out some guys. So keep going.
Oh, he's off. He's off. Good call, Matt. Let's go up I-80. We'll go. Let's get RJ Fairfield out the way. RJ Fairfield, put a smile on my face,
to the
please.
Victors.
Hey, man. Hey, Vontae Chaffee, y'all got to go to a Kim game, man. It was lit last night. It was crazy. But hey,
oh,
man,
you got the tickets I got for you? Hey, you got to receive the tickets I got you, huh?
Oh, thank you. They're a lot cheaper in Sacramento. I couldn't get Chase tickets. I couldn't get the
You didn't pick up the tickets I had for you. Said that we'll call it to go to what center?
No, I didn't know you had it like that over there, man. I thought you're banned from that place, man.
Did you rock the cowbell yesterday?
I rocked the cowbell right next to a Warrior fan, man. And I'm telling you, it was all love, though. Warrior fans, Kings fans, it was all love, man. Everybody was cool. Cool environment, man. Y'all got to go. It was loud, man. Y'all got to go. But, hey, real quick, the first half, my God. I mean, that's one of the worst first half Sacramento has ever played. I mean, you guys were – I mean, Steph Curry was doing his thing. He wasn't doing it in points, but he was throwing dimes to TJD. I mean, Guy Santos, who the heck is this guy? He's shooting threes left and right, and Buddy want to come up strong. But, you know, I don't know if you talked about the third quarter and Keon Ellis, man. My God, he brings so much energy into that stadium. And in that third quarter, we put the clamps down on Steph, and then Steph – and in the fourth, Steph didn't come in until like 5 minutes. And after that, the guy next to me, 90 seconds left, Steph Curry hits that three and misses it. The guy next to me said, Steph Curry, why the heck are you shooting the ball? He dropped his – I'm telling you, he cussed, but he left the stadium after that. He knew it was wrapped after that. So I think that was the turning point for y'all, but – I mean, what a game, guys. That was fun. But I didn't – hey, this is all friendly fire, man. I'm calling to show love. I love you guys.
I love you too, RJ. I love you too. Let's go to Javier Vacaville. Javier Vacaville, who's our resident Warrior and King fan. He wears a split jersey. Right, Javi?
Well, you know, my first game I ever went to was my mother in Sacramento. My sister, when I was a kid, she's from Sacramento. My dad took me to the 0-1. Last game was regular season. My sister, when I was 9 years old, we got the Speedy Claxton, Jason Richardson, Nick Van Exel jerseys for $18. Got the tickets for 57 for 3 people. Man, I'll never forget that at the Oracle Zone. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it was, bro. Hey, you can put the sound drop, but that means something to me. You know what I mean? But like I was saying, you know, Mr. Hill, Mr. Shasky, nice talking to you. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm not that person that's going to come and talk about the inside of the game and complain. If I have a complaint, I'm going to definitely create a solution. I feel like this Draymond Green and Jordan Poole situation can be rectified, whether it's a long shot or not. You're not going to be able to trade Draymond Green for a superstar. We obviously know that. But I know this. If you were to try to right those wrongs, Jordan Poole would be here and Draymond Green would have been dealt, and or eventually you would have got rid of Draymond Green because of the contract and or because it was just, you know, it's time, long in the tooth. You know the best thing to do right now, based on where the Wizards are at? I would call them and you guys, my goodness. I would trade Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, 2 firsts, and throw in Kyle Anderson, and maybe throw Guy Santos and Leon Waiters, our waiters, rather, to make the salaries fill. You can't bring back a Jordan Poole, Akon, Kuzmin, and Jonas Valanciunas. You know, where is the future with Pajemski, Moody? You need to give those picks. But who's the guy that's going to play Steph? I felt so bad to watch. It was like it was 1-5 yesterday offensively for the Warriors. Steph Curry was out there playing me versus 10 other feet out there. And I'm here having to just, man, I hope I can get a call. Yo, you know, I'm telling you, the Wizards are the worst team in the NBA. You give them 2 first-round picks, the Draymond Green, that would not just right the wrongs. It would put the Warriors back in the pits of going north instead of staying stagnant.
All right, Javi.
What do you think about that?
Well, Valanciunas looks cooked. Have you watched him lately?
Yeah, I mean, the one game that they played against the Warriors.
He looked cooked. I mean, he looked, I mean, to say he was cooked, but you could tell he's lost a little bit. And I'm not sure how Valanciunas fits into the style of play. Well, he's a bruiser.
Maybe you
flip
him.
I'm not mad at him. I mean, maybe you could get him for the cheap.
Actually, you know, given how down bad they are, I'm not that opposed to that deal.
Valanciunas?
No.
Oh, just
Kuzma
that deal?
And JP.
Oh, my God.
What?
2 NBA champions right there.
We have been trotting out Buddy. Like
I know, but Kyle
Kuzma. That leadership right there, Vontae.
We have to accept our reality.
No, I'm not accepting anything. You can accept it. The fans can accept it. I, Vontae Hill's not accepting that. I'm sorry. Oh, boy. 5-1-0. Bonte, did you see the clip of Eric Paschal talk about how hard it is playing with Curry and how he didn't like the system? Yeah, I saw the clip. And I saw Rashad McCann's co-signing it, which made me turn off the clip.
Where's Eric Paschal been?
He's in Italy. He's in Italy playing basketball.
Paizan, let's go.
But I don't know. Have you guys seen the clip of Eric Paschal?
Did you see it?
Where he said, yeah, it's hard to play with Steph. Okay. There's some truth, but he goes, I'm not a screener. I'm not a mini Draymond. What did he say? I'm not a mini Draymond. I'm a scorer. So he asked to go to the bench because it was so hard to play with Steph. I mean, sure.
Look, he's not a good player. Okay, so let's remove who the messenger is. The message he's trying to convey is that it is difficult for certain players, I would say a lot of players, to play alongside Steph Curry. Most guys get to the league and they're accustomed to having the ball in their hands. Yep. And then when they get to the league, accepting a role spot and being a glue guy is a tough transition. You go from being ball dominant to being off ball, don't touch it as often type of a player. Now let's take it a whole step further. Now you're setting all these off ball screens and trying not to occupy space as Steph's coming off screen. Yes, Eric Paschal's not a very good player, and it sounds absurd when he's saying, I'm used to being a scorer. Yeah, of course, we all agree. Like, he's not that guy. But what he's saying is actually realistic, and you're seeing it play out with a guy like Dennis Schroeder, who's not a great player either, but significantly better than Eric Paschal. He's having a tough time transitioning here. So there's some truth to what he's saying. I know we want to crush the messenger.
I'm not crushing the messenger.
I actually think it is a very difficult team to read and react, but it's tough to play.
But also, you could play the easiest basketball of your career, which Andrew Wiggins has done, especially when he got traded here, knowing that Steph's gravity and Klay's gravity at the time would create open looks for you because they would get so much attention off the doubles. I go back to the NBA Finals in 2017 with Kevin Durant, first championship here, where he was going down a lane for wide open dunks because there was 10 eyes on Stephen Curry. What he could create for others. So really, I look at it the other way. I'm saying you should be able to play the easiest basketball. If you're in a proper spot, if you are screening correctly, you're going to get wide open looks playing off of Stephen Curry. Hell, what did we talk about this morning? Steph Curry getting double the trap at half court. And the inability to play 4-on-3 basketball last night where you're turning the ball over because you don't have that second decision maker out there on the floor or the second decision maker you do have in Dennis Schroeder is struggling off of that. They're not taking advantage of that gravity. So I look at it the other way with Eric Paschal, what he's saying, oh, yeah, it was tough to do that. I didn't want to play with him. I asked to come off the bench because I'm a scorer. He just wants the ball in his hands. He wants to go ISO heavy. And what did we call Pascal? The black hole of basketball that year where the ball got to his hands and it just stuck? I look at it the other way saying you can actually take advantage of having a Stephen Curry on your team because of that gravity and you can get great looks and you will touch the ball and get your shots.
But how many guys coming into the league, whether it's, you know, 1 year of college or 3 or 4 years, like one of their key skill sets is understands how to screen off ball, right? Like there's a real...
But I look at Eric Paschal say, you came from Villanova. What was Jay Wright doing? Villanova guys know how to play off the ball.
Again, we're going at Pascal. I'm saying stylistically, as you zoom out, very few players have the IQ of a Sean Livingston and an Andre Iguodala. Those guys are very unique.
That's an indictment on where the league is at with some of these players.
Well, is Andrew Wiggins a good player?
Absolutely.
Okay, so is he conceivably getting the best looks of his career?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's for 4 years.
He's not even a 20-point-a-game scorer.
Well, that's Andrew Wiggins. He's giving you 17, 18.
No, it's good production. Right. No, it's good production. I think the point that I'm going at is, even then, it's still hard. It's still really hard, right? So, like, even if you're getting the best looks of your life, like, he's not even averaging 20. Like, I don't know, man. They could play that way for a long time because of personnel, because of how great Steph was. Oh, there's a lot of reasons. They need to add some wrinkles.
There do need to be some wrinkles. But at the same time, I get that it's hard to play with Steph because he does play a very unique brand of basketball, which is, I think, which makes him great because he can play off the ball. I think it's an indictment on what we're teaching our kids in a game of basketball, saying that the only way you can play is with the ball in your hands. Really? Basketball? You can only play with the ball in your hands? That's a problem. When you look at the great players, how many players, great shooters especially, can play without the ball in their hands? Like, that's the problem with James Harden, where it's become so predictable. It's like, James Harden, you can't play with the ball without the ball in your hands? Really?
Yeah, but when you're on this roster right now with this team, and you're going 3-on-5 in an offensive half-court set, and you got, let's say, TJD or Looney out there and a GP2, right?
Well, that's
those
personnel.
Those are two non-shooters.
Those are personnel. That's personnel then. Well, yeah, no doubt.
That's personnel. It's hard.
But I'm not
getting the best looks of his life.
I know.
I don't want him shooting at all.
Well, see, that's a problem.
And he's even hitting.
That's where Pascal misses me. It's like, dog, you would have got the best looks of your life.
But
you adjust. I'm sure it wasn't easy at Villanova playing for Jay Wright. I don't think it was easy playing for Jay Wright at Villanova in the way his style of basketball. They played a very similar brand of basketball like the Golden State Warriors, which is why Pascal was drafted. Hell, now that I recall this, Guru and I did the first interview with Jordan Poole, Eric Pascal, Smiley Geach in this market. We had Pascal on. It was like, you know, the system, I got to remember the interview, mm-hmm. but he said something to the effect that, like, they have a very similar brand of basketball that I played at Villanova. This should be a seamless transition. Something along those lines. So that's why I kind of scoff at Eric Pascal saying, wait a minute. Early on, you thought, oh, man, this system was tailor-made for me. I ran a similar system with Villanova. I'm going to get buckets. And now you're saying that, hold up. It's really hard playing in that style. I'm a scorer, dog. Yeah, I'm not buying that from Pascal.
No, I just think that a lot of players, they think that they're the number one because they come into the league as a primary scorer. And they get to the league and the adjustment to being a glue guy who doesn't have the ball in
their
hands.
Not even being a glue guy. You're just playing off of Steph. He's the number one, or he was the number one for those prime years. You don't have to be a glue guy. Klay Thompson wasn't a glue guy. I think he did quite well for himself. Yeah,
Klay's a whole
Andrew Wiggins, the first couple years, Andrew Wiggins was getting his 17, 18 points a game. That's fine. That's perfect. I don't know, man. And then, you know, when you have, here's the other thing. With Andrew Wiggins getting his 18, I'm okay with that because Kuminga's getting his 20 right now.
But Kuminga is a great example. He's struggled at times to fit in with Steph, right?
Well, I think
not that he's not good, not that he's not trying. I'm saying he's struggled at times to fit in playing that particular style. But all I'm saying is it takes a very specific type of player to play in that system, and that's where I would go back to saying, okay, I love that system. It's brought the most out of Steph.
Right.
You can run lots of that. You also have to run other things for others.
No doubt. No doubt, you do, but it's hard for me to take a guy like Eric Pascal seriously.
Well, that's why I don't look at the messenger. I'm just trying to listen to the message.
And then you get Rashad McCants talking about it,
but those,
and I'm like, come on, these guys are sending out a message where people are taking it and running with it, saying, oh, yeah, it's really hard. Actually, you know who shared that with me? Actually, it was D-Wright. D-Wright was like, yo, dog, come on, man.
Well, D-Wright was a great shooter. He would fit alongside Steph Curry.
A lot of people are like, oh, I get those looks of Steph anyway. Let's go to.
But I think a lot of people on the same token, real quick, would say it's very difficult to play with James Harden because James Harden has the ball the whole time, and you're playing all this defense, you're running back and forth, and then it's hot potato till the last 4 seconds of the shot clock, and you better hit it.
And you're just sitting there, exactly. Oriole Cookie in Oakland. Oriole, what's up, man?
Hey, what up, fellas? Yeah, you're definitely right, man. It sucks that we're talking about Draymond Green. He didn't even play last night. But who was there was my boy, our boy, Steve Kerr. Let me say this about him.
The guy has lost it. He's been here too long. I think his message is getting old. Let me see. We lose a lot of games when we have the lead, and I just keep seeing these teams chip away, and the guy never calls a timeout. He never adjusts. Last night's game, we had a very good first half. The second half, the Kings came out. They adjusted. They went a little bit more zone. We had no adjustment back. The guy doesn't really know how to coach, so now I'm thinking let's explore our options. All our options.
Okay.
The league thinks he's a genius. You guys think he's a genius, that he's a top five coach ever. What could we get on the open market for Steve Kerr?
Can I ask this question? And if I remove Steve Kerr from the equation, I don't have the answer to this. Someone who follows the Kings more closely would have a better answer.
Yeah.
Why do it when I watched this Kings team last night, it looked nothing like what I saw earlier this year?
I'll tell you why. Mike Brown, because I've heard a lot of things going on in Sacramento, he kept harping on defense. This is an offensive team.
Okay.
And so you're putting the handcuffs on them offensively. You got them so worried about defense, they're so wound up tight. It's like, Mike, all these shoot-arounds, defense, this and that. Let's play offense. Offense on this team is our best defense. When they got to the playoffs, we weren't talking about their defense. We were talking about how explosive their offense was. Their offense put pressure on a lot of teams.
Was great last night. So what happened there?
No, no, no. But they also scored 123
no
points.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Like, so what I'm saying is their offense, the way they scored a basketball putting pressure on you, yeah, their ball defense was great.
It really was.
But they also scored 75 points in the second half.
But I felt like a lot of that was fueled by the turnovers they were generating, the pressure they were putting on the ball, forcing late shot clock chucks.
Some of that, but also their offense put pressure on you because they got to the rim, to the free throw line, and they hit their shots. DeMar DeRozan scored 19 alone in the third quarter off the mid-range. So is Mike Brown just gelling with the roster better?
I
just think, personally, yes, not only that, but it's for right now. Okay. We're in the honeymoon phase. Okay. Let's see what Sacramento faces some adversity. But also, this is where another classic case of Mike Brown's probably just better as an assistant coach than he is as a head coach.
Oh, there's a lot of guys. Dennis Allen, I think he's a good two. He's not a good one.
Right, exactly. NFL, we see that all the time. So, and it's a new voice. And I think that voice of just like, you're hearing the same thing over and over up at Sac when you got some young guys. It's like, dude, coach is up. And by the way, I thought just for a long time, Sacramento, whether it was Luke Walton, whether it's Mike Malone, whether it's Alvin Gentry, Barbosa's still up there, Luke Locke's assistant coach, who's a long time with the Warriors, he's now up there in Sac. I think for a long time they were trying to do it the Warriors way. And I think Doug Christie right now is saying, to hell with that. We're the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Let's do things like the Memphis Grizzlies where we don't like anybody. Hell with that. We're not the Warriors. So, we want to beat the Warriors.
I think Steve Kerr's a good coach, right? I don't think he's lost it or anything. But I do question the way that they've wanted to play for so long, right? Does that fit what you got right now? Which goes back to the Steph Curry thing.
Right.
Last night, and I could see it. The ball was in Steph's hands because they don't have playmakers. They ran more pick and roll than ever. But that's going to wear down Steph.
Yeah.
He was taking on Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis at the top of the key over and over and over and over again. And then you're left with going, why doesn't Steph have more shots in the second half? Why does he only have the 2 points? So there's got to be a balance, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. You got to tweak
it. But I'm questioning why they made a simple change, head coach, and they got this big jolt.
I scratch my head sometimes because Steve Kerr, we've wanted J.K. to fit into this for so long. But when Dennis Schroeder came here, it was like, yeah, we'll tailor some stuff for Dennis Schroeder. Well, let's do that for J.K. first and foremost. Dennis Schroeder just got here. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the veteran thing? Meaning
maybe.
Like we
I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
We ask the veteran a little
I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, but I just find it kind of strange. But I'm with you
I hear you.
Where tweaks to the system needs to be had.
Yeah, yeah.
Just when James Wiseman the pool was here. I don't know how good James Wiseman was, but I would love to see a pick and roll between James Wiseman and Jordan Poole because I know Jordan Poole has a quick first step and gets to the rim. Or if you double Jordan Poole off that pick and roll, James Wiseman could pick and pop and hit a wide open shot. I mean, straight up. And people hate to hear that, but that's the truth. So I thought, instead of harping on what a player can't do, let's highlight what a player can do. You know what I'm saying? I think Shanahan does a good job at this. We know what Debo isn't. But what is Debo Samuel?
I want to continue to talk about this on the other side.
Because I think we need to highlight
this. I agree with you. No, I want to dive into that.
77-57. All right, cool. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Von Looney had to leave in the second half last night. Good news is that it's not a physical injury. It's just ruled out due to an illness, which I guess is going around with the Warriors because GP2 was ill as well, and he was questionable. But Looney was replaced by TJD in the rotation, and TJD balled out yesterday. Damn near had a double-double off the bench for the Dubs. So Looney is questionable for tonight's game against the Chicago Bulls, and hopefully they do have him. They're going to need a guy to step on Vukovic as he's shooting over 40% for the three-point line for the Chicago Bulls. All right, the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Your phone calls, Jimmy in Dublin, Joe in the Sco. We'll talk about Steve Kerr. Bill Simmons has an interesting trade idea for the Golden State Warriors. We'll play that sound. Plus, we'll play a sound from the Ringer as well, from Logan Murdoch on Joe Lacob. We'll get everybody's thoughts on that as we recap the Sacramento Kings loss, plus Casey Johnson, 8:30, to talk about what's going on with the Chicago Bulls. He covers the Bulls for the Chicago Sports Network. That's all coming up here on The Roast, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.